Good morning. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that you think your mom wants? What do you think that she wants from you? I want to talk about that a little bit this morning and investigate this idea. And I think I have some answers for you. I think I have some realities of what moms really want from us children. And maybe some things that they won't always tell us. It's always a challenge for me to figure out what to get Katie or to get my mom for Mother's Day. I've learned things like you shouldn't get them appliances or cleaning items, and so this year we got a mop and a blender. It's just the way it goes. It's a good blender, though. But I have to think that that's not really what Mother's Day is all about. It's not really what mothers want. They don't so much want the material things and the gifts. That's not what they're truly interested in. Those things are nice, and I'm certain that they like them, and they appreciate the thought and the thankfulness that their children and their husbands have for them. And so all of that is a good thing. I did some searching, though, about what mothers really want. Here's a list of things that a mother said she wanted. Not to change a diaper, not to pick out clothes, not to play referee, not to think about dinner, not to buckle or unbuckle car seats, not to bathe children, not to be in charge of bedtime, not to have to return something you bought me that I do not want. And then my personal favorite, not to have to share my day with a husband who just had to be born on May 9th. I am May 12th. In an ABC survey, they found that most mothers want a combination of spending time with family and alone time. And much of that related to how old the mother was. The younger the mother, the more alone time they wanted, and you can understand why. But if I were to ask the mothers present today what they really want today, what they really want from their children in general, I think the answer is they would vary greatly in some ways. But if I told you that you could have anything you wanted, if somehow I could be that genie in the bottle and I could say, you pick whatever it is you want and you can have it, I think that our answers from our mothers here this morning would be much more eternal in nature than material. They would be much more serious than just a card or a poem or some kind of gift. Those things they appreciate. I think what they really want is something so much deeper, something so much more gratifying, something so much more important in life. I want us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 3 and read a couple of verses from there. And I want to launch from these passages to talk about some things that I think that mothers really want from us. What they would really like to have from us. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 3, it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well. If you turn your page to chapter 3. In verse 14, he says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Don't you love this account with Paul writing Timothy? And he's trying to encourage Timothy. It seems like Timothy has waned a little bit in his faith, and he's trying to pump him back up. In fact, in the verse right after where we ended in chapter 1, he says, I want to flame the fire within you. I want to encourage you to use the gift that you have by the laying on of my hands. Timothy, you need to get back to work. Remember the faith that is instilled in you. Remember the faith that dwells in you that was first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And then he reminds him again a few chapters later about what he learned in his childhood. how the scriptures that had no doubt been recited to him and read to him time and time again, either from his grandmother or his mother or in synagogues, worships, as they're reading the scriptures. He says, you remember all of these scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament here, which gives you what you need, wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Remember all of that, Timothy. And he makes this statement to him, remember from whom you learned them. When you were a baby and your mother was changing your diaper and bathing you and clothing you and doing all the things that mothers do, what she most wanted, those of them who are here this morning, is that you would grow up and be someone like Timothy, someone with faith, someone who believes, someone who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that means something in your life. And so they sing the songs, the B-I-B-L-E, and Jesus Loves Me, and other songs that they know and they love to comfort you when you're crying. That's what mothers most want. And so I want to give you three things this morning that mothers really want. And they might not even really tell you this, but this is what they really want. They want a family that worships. And not a family that just worships on Mother's Day and a family that worships on some holidays. That's not what they really want. Now, they do want those things. And so when they can demand that you come and be with them, the hope is that you will come here and you'll hear some things if you're not someone who comes regularly that will provoke faith, that will bring interest to you from Scripture, and that maybe you'll remember some of those things that you were taught in childhood, those things which are powerful for salvation, and that'll create this desire within you that you will be here every week. I'll tell you, that's what they want. They might not tell you that. What they tell you is maybe what many women will say. Teresa Trimmer, a woman who lives in Virginia, she said she has two sons. I would love it if they would both come with me to church and then out to a local restaurant for lunch. That would make my day. But you know, I think it's much more than just the day that matters to them. And I'll tell you why. An extremely high percentage of women in our society, in the society that we so often talk about as being ungodly so often and not wanting to listen to Jesus and do things that are in Scripture, a very high percentage of women are attending church every single week. 68%. And what that means is that matters to her. Her faith matters to her. Her belief in Jesus matters to her. And the things that matter to her are going to matter for her, for you. That's what that means. If it is important to her to be here every single week, to worship on a regular basis, to have this relationship with God, to be connected with Him, I assure you that our mothers want that for all of us. Just remember all the work they're putting in from childhood. This morning I got up about 5:15. And I was doing some study and preparing some things. And you know what? My wife was up, taking care of baby. And she does that every 3 hours, every 4 hours, even at night. She's feeding the baby. In between that, she's changing diapers. She's clothing the baby. She's doing all kinds of work to take care of this little child. And our mothers did all of that. And they want something so wonderful for us. They want something so powerful for us in our lives that we have this connection with God. That they want us to be here worshiping and understanding the importance of praising God in our life, as places like Psalm 95 talk about, that He is the shepherd, we are His sheep, that He is a great God, that He is worthy of praise. And then the negative side of that is if we don't understand who God is, we will not receive His rest, the psalmist tells us. And our mothers know that. And so they want us to be here. They want us to be here not just today, and not just on holidays, and a few other times during the year. They want us to be here or to be somewhere that is honoring God and worshiping God on a regular basis. But you know, I think they want more than for us to just show up in a pew. That's part of it. I think our mothers do want that because so many of them value this so much that they're here all the time. But the reality is that is not where it ends. The reason they want us to be here and doing the things that are done here and worshiping and encouraging each other is because of life outside of here. What they really want is a family that lives right. What they really want are children that live the way they were brought up to live, and a husband who is a good spiritual leader. These are the kinds of things that women really want in life. And I would suggest that for a godly woman, a woman who's going to be like Lois and Eunice, who raised their grandson and their son, and to have faith and to live by that faith, that's what's going to bring them the most satisfaction in life, is when their family is functioning in such a way that it matches with what Scripture wants from us as a family. Husbands, what that means for us is we better step up and we better lead our family, because that's what the Bible says to do. And when our wives are reading Scripture and they read that the man is supposed to be the head of the wife and he's supposed to lead and he's supposed to be like Jesus and be sacrificial and give himself up for his wife, they see all those things and they know what that looks like, and that's what they want from us. More than a card, more than a poem, more than a gift, they want leadership. They want someone who is going to direct the family. And I'll tell you, gifts, they aren't much of a comfort if we're not the kind of person that we ought to be. We've seen that all the time, right? In real life, or maybe in TV shows, or even in books that we read. People still read books. Someone comes, they're just a despicable person, right? You have this guy, he is the picture of someone who is a hypocrite, and he is deceitful, but he's this flatterer, and he brings the flowers, and he brings the gifts. That means absolutely nothing, and we can see it. And maybe she's deceived for a little while. But the reality is life is a lot more than gifts and presents and flowers and poems and cards. Life is about right and wrong. It's about belief and non-belief. It's about being in Christ or not in Christ. And so she wants a family that matches all of these things that we've talked about here. A husband that leads. A child that remembers all those things that they were taught in childhood. Whether it was from reading the Bible together for Bible lessons. Or singing those songs together that are sung at nighttime before bed. That's what our mothers want. They want us to be lights to the world. They want us to depend on Scripture and realize that that is a solid foundation. They want all the things they tried to teach us our whole life growing up. That's what our mother really wants to see in us. So she wants a family that worships. She also wants a family that lives for God. That's going to bring her true comfort and true peace. Young people, your mother, she wants you to be careful what your eyes see and what your ears hear, what your mouth says, where your feet go. She didn't sing you those songs for no reasons. They matter. And she knows what the world's like and what it has to offer and what the consequences are sometimes. And so while those songs might be sung to get you to sleep, they're also to give you a message about where you are to go in life and what she wants from you. Our mothers want us to live right for God, because she knows that God sees everything. The Father up above, he's looking down in love. So be careful. There is that element of fear that we learn when we are children, but there's also the element of love. right? The Father, he's looking down, and our mothers know that, and they want us to learn about that. But he also wants us to know that he's looking down in love. He cares about us. He is gracious. He wants us to do right. He is on our side. And he is powerful to save. And so she wants us to worship the God of creation. She wants us to worship the God of Israel that brought them out of Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea and gave them the land of Canaan and destroyed all obstacles in their way and then restored them from exile when they did wrong and he put them there. He brought them back. They want us to worship and to live for the God that brings salvation through Jesus Christ, this God that has a plan before the foundations of the world. He had established this before any of us were ever thought of. They understand this. They read it in Scripture, and they want to instill it in all of us. And they want to see us living it in our lives. And not only do they want to have a family that worships and a family that lives for God, they want a family headed for heaven. Remember what I said at the very beginning, that if we were to ask the mothers here this morning what they really want and tell them, you could have it. Whatever it is you want, you can have it. And I made this statement that their concerns and what they want, it's going to be much more eternal in nature than material. I believe that. Because our mothers labored with us. They carried us. They gave birth to us. They struggled and they fought through life with us. And what they most want for us is life and eternity with them. It doesn't end here, ladies and gentlemen. This is not it. There is something so much greater than what we have here. And it goes beyond this one day, and it goes beyond this week and this year. It reaches off into eternity, and she wants to have the joy that comes from knowing that her family is right with God, and the peace that comes from knowing that they are headed together to heaven, that one day she's going to stand there in the presence of God in judgment, and she's going to see the people she knows there. Most importantly, her husband and her children, those who are closest to her. I don't really think, and I think mothers, you can appreciate this, I don't really think I can adequately express to you any of the things I've just said from my perspective as a man. I'm doing the best I can this morning. But mothers, would you agree that it goes even deeper beyond what I'm able to say up here this morning? That your love for your children and your concern for them and your desire for them to be headed to heaven one day for all eternity, it goes beyond anything I can state in words. And so let's tell them today how much we appreciate them and how thankful we are for what they've done. Take them to lunch and give them the gifts and tell them that you love them. Because they deserve every bit of that. But what they really want are these things we've talked about this morning. They want their children and their husband to worship and to live in a way that one day they're all going to be headed together to heaven. Let me ask you this morning, how good is your Mother's Day going to be? I think it can be a great day, and hopefully it will be for all of you. I truly hope, as we've looked at the story of Lois and Eunice and thought about their influence over Timothy and what Paul saw in that relationship, that I'll give us some things to think about, especially those of us who are children, showing our appreciation to our mothers. I can't even remember, as none of you can either, I would assume, all the things that my mother did for me. I have no idea the hours spent and the time consumed with her trying to bring me up in the right way. But that is the greatest gift that she has ever given me. And it is the same thing for all of you. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is directing Timothy in terms of how he should interact with the brethren. He says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to younger men as brothers, to older women as mothers." I appreciate those of you who are older here this morning, the older women who are like mothers to those of us who are younger, and the work that you do not only for your own children, but for all of us. And let's honor that today and tomorrow and the rest of our lives, knowing that what's most important in life is not the physical, not the material, but the eternal. It could be that you are here this morning and you maybe didn't have a mother or a grandmother who brought you up in faith. That doesn't happen for everyone, we know that. But we have a lot of people, as I just mentioned, here who are willing to help, who are willing to guide, whether men or women. And if you understand this morning that the true life to live is one for Jesus Christ, in glorifying and honoring God in your life, you can make that happen now. And you can give that to your children and help bring them to a point where they are worshiping God and living right for God, and they are headed to eternity to be with Him forever. Can we help you do that this morning? And if you are not living right, if you are a Christian, you realize you haven't been honoring God, it's time to make a change. There is nothing more important in life. Your job is not more important. No activities you do are more important. Nothing in life is more important than being right with God. And you can make that happen this morning. You can come ask for help. We're willing to support you and encourage you.